things we're actually responsible for. It kind of reminds me back when I was in school. I was in about the fourth grade, and I joined 4-H Club. And when I did, they voted me to be the secretary and treasurer. Well, I'm a fourth grader. I don't know what a secretary and treasurer is. All I knew is I had a job, or I had a description, you know, and authority. I didn't realize I had to have responsibility too. And so nobody told me what to do. And they just handed me a book. I didn't know I was supposed to write down minutes and keep up with all this stuff, you know. And so I'm just sitting there going through all of our meetings and classes. And then at the end of the year, they say, well, we need you to turn in your book of minutes and stuff so we can see what all's happened. And what are you talking about? What minutes? You know? But the problem was, I didn't know I was going to be accountable for the authority that was given to me. I didn't know what I was responsible for. And because I wasn't aware of it, if somebody would set me down and said, you know, you need to do this, this, and this, and write down the minutes and keep up with everything and what everybody says and does, you know, I could have done it, but nobody told me. And so sometimes when we don't understand what we're responsible for, it can get us in trouble. You know, and that was really a fourth grader don't know a lot, you know. And so, but sometimes when we come into the kingdom, we don't know a lot, you know, and we have to learn as we go along. And, but Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And but with authority comes responsibility. And, you know, I want to talk about some things this morning that we are responsible for and that will bring a blessing in your life. Did you know that when God gives you authority and responsibility, when you're responsible and you take that authority, it brings more of heaven into your life. But you know what? The devil takes advantage where people don't take responsibility. When you don't take responsibility, you don't take authority, the devil will fill in the blank. He's a usurper of authority. He's a rebellious person. And wherever there's rebellion is where you're going to see demonic powers working. You know, when I got saved, I was a very rebellious person. I didn't like for nobody to tell me what to do. And I still have to work on it sometimes. And so it's in the nature of man to not want to be told what to do. But the thing of it is, we have to be willing. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you have to first submit yourself to God before the devil's going to be able to flee from you. You know, a lot of people want authority. They want, you know, say, well, you know, you're an apostle, you're a prophet, you're this or you're that, you know. But a lot of people don't want the responsibility that goes along with it. You know, it's like they just want people to look at you and think you're a big hotshot or something like that, you know. But with a great authority comes great responsibility. And what I mean by that is I think there's things in our lives that we could have changed if we just knew it. I think if we'd have just understood some more of the kingdom, if we'd have just been more committed to the kingdom and understood how great of authority we really had, we could have changed circumstances in our life, changed circumstances in our children and people around us. Because I've seen things in my life that that I changed because I realized I had authority in the name of Jesus. You know, as far as sickness and disease, you know, we have authority over sickness and disease. We have authority over demon powers. You know, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you know, they shall cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll speak with new tongues. In other words, there's some signs that proves that we're in, going in the right direction. You know, that we're submitting to the right thing. But whenever when we don't keep the responsibility, and how many knows we're responsible for our own spirit? We're responsible for what we hear. We're responsible for what we see. We're responsible for words that comes out of our mouth. The Bible says we'll be judged even for every word that comes out of our mouth. And it also talks about us being responsible for the thoughts that go through our mind. The thoughts that we think we're responsible for. But you know, sometimes we just think, I don't want to be responsible for that, so I'm just going to let whatever wants to go through my mind go through there. And you know what? When you do, that's when the devil slips. He'll slip a thought in then. But the Bible talks about that we have authority over the devil, and we have a responsibility to walk with God. But see, the thing of it is, the devil will wear you out trying to keep your responsibility without the power of God. See, but when you get the power of God with you and you're submitting to God in the right way, it'll give you the power to do what God told you to do. It'll give you the power to be able to resist the devil. It'll give you the power to do and not get wore out. But I've been a pastor over the years. I've seen people that didn't like to be told what to do in a church, that didn't want to submit to authority, didn't want to be under authority, and just wanted, you know, sometimes I see people, they just wanted authority. You know, and I was always afraid of people that wanted authority. I was afraid of people that wanted a place on the, they wanted to be the high up on the board, but they hadn't even been on the bottom long enough to even know what it's about. You know, and so when people want authority real quick and they're not willing to submit, there's a wrong spirit there. But when you got a right spirit, God will promote you. If you have a submissive spirit and you submit to authority in your life and you keep the responsibility in your life, God will promote you in the kingdom. He'll cause you to prosper. He'll cause the blessings of God to come into your life as you submit to authority. Because see, the thing of this, when you submit to authority, you're actually submitting to God. If God places a pastor in your life, and that pastor is a godly man like Brother Scotty, then when Brother Scotty speaks a word to you, you shouldn't get mad and say, bless God, who's he think he is? You know, if you do that, you're rebelling against God. You know, but if you say, yes, I believe that God's speaking to me through my brother, and I'm going to submit to that word, and when you submit to that word, and you become responsible for it, and you say, I'm going to do that word, guess what? The blessing of God will come upon you. I remember one time there was a prophet in town, and he was running a revival up in Coleman at Spirit Life. I mean, not Spirit Life, but Word of Life. And he preached a hard word, but it was the truth. And he was actually preaching about some of the things I'm talking about authority and things like this. But he was preaching, and I was sitting there when he was preaching, and I was just squirming, and it was like my flesh was wanting to get mad at him. My flesh was wanting to find a reason to not listen to him, to get up and leave. You know, and so as he's preaching, I'm just sitting there and listening through it, and I feel like I'm being beaten with a whip, you know, the whole time. But I said, Lord, do I have to listen to this? And the Lord said, is he speaking the truth? And I said, yes. And he said, then receive it. And so I received it. And then I went home, and then I went back again that night, and I took another beating. And I said, Lord, this is about to kill me. But I received the word he was preaching, you know, and then I went back the next day. I said, man, I'm a glutton for punishment here. And so he preached it again, and he preached hard, and I was just receiving it, but I kept looking for something that he was saying wrong so I could get up and leave. But he wouldn't ever say anything wrong. And so then, like on the third day after me sitting through this meeting, I remember I walked outside at my house, and it was just like early in the morning or something, and I was walking across the yard, and as I was walking across the yard, all at once the glory of God just come over me, and enveloped me, and tears just started gushing out of my eyes, and I didn't even know why. I wasn't even praying. I was just walking across the yard, and tears started gushing out of my eyes, and the presence of God just enveloped me, and I said, Lord, why are you doing this to me? He said, because you received my word from the prophet. See, because I received that word, it done something for me. It caused the blessing of God to come into my life. And another thing happened one time when I was in Mississippi, and I went to convention for 3 days, and I'd heard a Brother Potter preaching and some other good preachers, and they were preaching, you know, good preaching and good ministering, and I had received that word, and on the way home, I was listening to some of his tapes on authority and submission and resisting rebellion and stuff. And as I heard this word all the way home, I just kept receiving it in my spirit about submitting to authority, resisting the devil. And so when I got home, I had this old dog, and he was about chasing cars, you know, and you couldn't make him stop chasing cars. And you could holler, you could scream at him when a car come by, and he wouldn't even listen. He'd just take off after that car. And so when I got to the house, I mean, I went outside the next day after I'd been to convention, and the dog was laying there on the porch and heard a car coming. And I said, oh, no, there he goes, fixing to go chase that car. And he jumped off the porch, and he tore out down through there after that car. I said, MJ. He went, he just stopped, and I said, get back on this porch. And he just turned around, walked back up there, and sat down on the porch. And I'm sitting there going, what just happened? I said, this has never happened before. How could this dog, what made this dog obey me? He's never done that. You couldn't make him stop chasing that car. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, because you submit to my word, he said, when you submit to my word, he said, I will cause the world to submit to you. See, when you submit to God, God will cause the world to submit to you. He'll cause the animal kingdom to submit to you. And I mean, that was real. It made an impression on me that I've never forgotten this day. And so there's something about submitting to authority. There's something about keeping our responsibility. You know, it's like we're responsible for our spirit, for feeding ourselves the Word of God. We're responsible for praying. We're responsible, you know, because if we don't do that, we get weaker. You know, it causes you not to be. It's just like if you have responsibility of cleaning the house, and you don't do it, that house is going to get filthy. You know, if we don't take care of our spirit. Our spirit will get filthy. It's like taking a bath. When you go to God in prayer, it's like it washes you. When we hear the Word of God and we receive the Word of God, it's like bread, it feeds us. You know, we have to be responsible like that, because if we don't, we're not going to have, when it comes time for us to bring the authority, it's harder to carry out the authority if you haven't been keeping the responsibilities. How many can agree with me? Amen. But demons like to take authority where that we have not taken our place. Look at Adam, for instance. God gave Adam authority over the garden. He told him to protect it, to keep it, and watch over it. And here the serpent comes into the garden and starts talking to the woman. But you know what Adam's job was? To kick it out. A place where Adam did not fulfill his responsibility messed up the whole world. Because he did not fulfill his responsibility to guard and protect and watch over the garden, It opened up the devil. The devil took advantage of that place. See, and the same thing's true in our life. If we don't guard and protect our garden and our home, you know, we're responsible for our home. We're responsible for our children. We're responsible for our wives. We're responsible for the things that goes on around us. We're responsible when we come in contact with people. We're responsible to be a witness to them. Because, see, whatever God has told us to do, we're responsible for it. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just ones we decide we like, But everybody we come in contact is a potential person that could be saved. And so we have to, wherever we go, we have to have that kind of mentality that I'm going to be a witness for God. You know, we can't just ignore it and say, well, I'm not a witness. I ain't going to think about it. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm not a preacher. I ain't got to worry about it. No. See, I'd rather find out what my responsibilities are before I find out like I did when I was in the fourth grade and find out at the end of the year that I hadn't been keeping my responsibilities because I didn't know what they were. And see, we need to realize, and I believe that a lot of people don't really realize the responsibility. And they also don't realize, I know the biggest majority of the church world don't realize the authority that we really have in Christ. Because when Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, he didn't say some of the power of the enemy, he said all of the power of the enemy. And that means that there's nothing, he said all things are possible to him that believeth. And so that means that there's nothing impossible for us. And so, but the thing of it is, in this day and hour we're living in, it seems like the church world is getting further and further away from taking authority over the devil and from laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. You don't see that much anymore like you used to. And you say, oh, that was back in the Neanderthal days, back when the church thought that they had to cast the devil out. Well, we ain't got to worry about that because we're more refined today and we're smarter and all this. No, you ain't. No, we ain't. It's the problem is the devil has caused the church to simply drift away from the responsibility that we are to take our place and to rule over the darkness. The Bible said that God made the moon and the sun. He said he made the sun to rule the day, but he said he made the moon to rule the night. And you know, when the Bible said that we are called the sons of God, but it said that Paul even referred to that scripture in Genesis when he was talking about that we are to rule over the darkness. But basically, he said the moon was made to rule over the darkness. Did you know that in the end, the church is going to bring judgment on the devil? I mean, that's what our destiny is. One of our destinies is that we're going to bring judgment to the devil in this world. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified, and he's going to cause, because remember he said he's going to put Satan under your foot shortly? Glory to God. But see, the thing of it is, I believe, you know, like men like Smith Wigglesworth, that they walked with such an awareness of the authority that they had in God that they wouldn't put up with the devil. When the devil showed up, they'd just cast him out. They'd lay hands on the sick, and wherever they saw him, they always defeated him. Jesus did the same thing. If you think about it, wherever Jesus went, he always defeated the devil. When they'd come in, they'd try to trick him with some words or something and try to twist his words, God would give him a word, and he'd just speak it, and he'd say, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. And then they just have to hang their heads and walk out because they didn't know what to do. But see, the thing of it was, he knew his place and he had authority and he took his responsibility. And so when you take your responsibility, you're going to see things happen around you. You'll see, you know, the devil will try to talk you out of it. As a matter of fact, when you really start getting in a place to where you're fixing to really grow spiritually, when you're fixing to start taking the kingdom, you're going to start walking in more of the kingdom of God, the devil's going to attack you. I mean, he'll start coming against you and he'll try to buffalo you and try to get you to back down and try to intimidate you and try to make you want to just throw in the towel and quit and make you mad and tempt you and everything else. You know, right when you're fixing to see the glory of God. I couldn't tell you how many times in my life that God would just, when I would get to a place of breakthrough where I'd start seeing God moving mightily in my life, all at once, all hell would break loose. People start getting mad at me that didn't even have a reason to be mad at me. And, you know, and crazy stuff would happen. I mean, we've been in services before, and we was having a great revival. A great preacher was preaching a great revival, and breaking strongholds were being broken. And a baby died right in the middle of our service. But God raised it from the dead. But see, the thing of it was that it was like the devil was trying to get our attention off of what was being preached. And it did, believe me, but for a little while. But then God turned it around. But the thing of it is, there's real devils in this world, and the devil likes it when people don't take their place. He likes it when husbands don't take their place. When they don't, he likes it when there's no authority figure in the house. He likes it when children won't obey their parents, and he likes it when parents won't be the parents they need to be, and it gives the devil a place to just run ragged and just take authority where he doesn't need to. And so in Matthew chapter 28, he said in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, and some people say, well, when Jesus told them to go cast out devils and heal the sick, he was just talking to his disciples, his apostles. Well, right here he said, whatever I taught y'all, y'all go teach it to the people. So basically, that blows that theory out of the water that people says, well, that's just the apostles. They were apostles. That's the reason they could cast out devils. No, it's still here today. Glory to God. Which we've had it happen a lot of times in our church and over the years, I'm sure y'all have here too. But it's like when you start taking your place and authority, you're going to start running into devils. You'll be casting out devils and everything else. I mean, I was at my house one day and a guy come knocked on my door, and I'd been praying for him and talking with him, and he'd come to my house, knocked on the door, and he said, "Brad, I know who I am now." And I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus." I said, "Oh Lord." I said, "Come on in. Sit down right here." He sat down on the couch, and I started talking to him. He said, "Brad, if you want to, you can go ahead and worship me." I said, "I'll tell you what, let's just kneel here and pray." We knelt down and started praying, and the Lord started telling me, he said, this is an Antichrist spirit working in this man right now. And I just laid my hands on him, and I started saying, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of this man." And when I started doing that, this man started screaming at the top of his voice, and his eyes turned blood red, and he started falling on the floor and rolling over and over and just going crazy. And then he started saying, "I hate Jesus. I love drugs and sex and booze." And he started raising up with like rage, like he was fixing to attack me. And I said, "Come out of him in the name of Jesus." And he said, "No, I'm not coming out. I ain't been saved too long at that time. I ain't been pastoring too long. I'd been pastoring about a year. And I hadn't really run into this bad." And so I said, "Come out of him in the name of Jesus." And he said, "I'm not coming out." And I was looking at him. I said, "Well, I ain't going in and getting him." I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. And I can't go in." And he says he's not coming out. And so I kept praying over and praying over, and then the devil started telling me, he said, "There must be something wrong with you, because that devil should have just jumped right out of him as soon as you spoke to him, you know." And so I started, but as a matter of fact, the boy did get delivered that day. I prayed over him, and he just snapped out of it all at once. He went back home. His mom said he moved back into his room, and he'd done great for about 4 or 5 days. He quit going to church. He started back doing drugs, and the demons come right back into the boy again. But anyways, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking about that. I thought, well, Lord, that demon didn't really want to come out when I told it to, like it did in the Bible. And so I started listening to this. This friend of mine gave me a tape from A.A. Allen, and he was a great deliverance preacher back in the 50s. He cast out devils all the time. And I was listening to this tape, and so when he started preaching, there was a demon possessed person started screaming out in the audience, and he went over and started casting the devil out of it. And he said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of this man. And that demon said, no, I ain't coming out. And I said, okay, let's see what he does. And so he said, I said, come out. And then that demon said, I ain't coming out. And I said, well, hey, it's arguing with him too. And I said, maybe I'm not as bad as I thought I was. You know, and so then he, and a couple of times, he done it a couple of times, and then he said it again, and then that demon came out of the man. And so, you know what that done for me? It gave me confidence. I said, now then, I know it's going to come out. I just don't need to give up. You know, and so then the next time I ran into somebody like that, there was a lady that I was praying for, and a friend of mine had been praying with her, and he didn't know what was wrong with her, and he wasn't trying to cast no devils out of her. And so I just came in, and I was standing there, and I sensed that there was a demonic spirit in this woman. And I started commanding the spirit to come out of her, and that preacher started looking at me funny, like, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. You know, and I'm standing there, and I said, come out of this woman in the name of Jesus, I command you. And I said it 3 or 4 times, you know. And that guy kept looking at me like, boy, you really missed this. Then about that time, foam started foaming out of that woman's mouth and just started coming out. Just foaming and foaming, and then she got delivered. But you know why? It helped me to realize when I heard the great preacher that you know, it. Because see, the devil tries to make you doubt your authority. But see, when you know that you're obeying God, see, this is the key to being a deliverance person, is you got to obey God. Because if you're not obeying God in some area of your life, when you start to cast the devil out, the first thing the devil's going to do, he's going to say, you can't because you done this or you done that. You know, and you're going to feel guilty, and then you're going to back down, you know. And it was just like one time that we was in a revival, and this woman that was coming to my church, she was kind of a loose woman, and you know, and she was living with men and just living kind of pretty ungodly woman, you know, and several different. But anyhow, she wanted somebody to prophesy to her. And so she's standing up there against the wall, and she's fixing to come up to be prayed for. And it was Brother Runday. And Runday says, now, if you don't want me to read your mail tonight, you better not come up here. And that woman's over against the wall. She started going. She went back and sat down. But it was kind of funny. But anyways, God can read our mail. But when you got a clear conscience, the Bible said that you'll make shipwreck if we depart from faith and a good conscience. And so if your conscience is not clear, then when you start fighting against darkness, it will cause you to back down. It'll cause you to doubt yourself. You know, you'll doubt if you really got the authority to stand against that spirit or whatever it is you're standing against. Glory to God. But that's the same thing with faith, because faith won't work right in our life if we've got condemnation or guilt in our life. One other scripture is in Luke 11 and verse 18. It says, but he knowing their thoughts, in verse 17, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falleth. If Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Well, that's not exactly the scripture that I was. I was looking for the scripture that says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. It might have been, 10:19. Oh, thank you. Yes, that's it. I put it down wrong. Didn't have my glasses on, I guess. And he said unto them, and I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. But remember, we read that scripture over there where Jesus told us the apostles and disciples, he said, go teach them whatever I've taught you, go teach them. So even though he might have been talking to the apostles here, he was talking to us. So when he said, behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. The things that we're responsible for, number one, is our own soul. And number two, we're responsible for keeping a right spirit. We're responsible for being a witness to God, for God. And Jesus told us, or apostle, one of them did, that he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, then you shall be my witnesses. How many knows you need the Holy Ghost to be a witness? Because without the Holy Ghost, we're just talking. But when the Holy Ghost is leading and guiding you, then you become a powerful witness for God that can change somebody's lives. We're responsible for prayer and for our family, for those God shows you to pray for. You know, there's people that God will lay on your heart. You might be in bed at night, and God puts somebody on your heart. You might be tired, and God might tell you to get up and pray for this person. And you might say, well, I don't feel it. It ain't going to make no difference if I pray. But if God tells you to pray for somebody and you obey God, you can change somebody's life. A lady was coming to my church years ago, and she told me, she said, I want you to pray for my nephew. Said they're taking him off, they're unplugging him tomorrow. It's on life support. And I remember that night I was laying in bed, and that came to me to pray for him. And I didn't really want to pray for him. I didn't think it was going to do any good because it was going to unplug him, you know. And then all at once, the Lord just dealt with me. He said, I want you to pray for this man to live. He's not going to live. He's not going to die. He's going to live. And I started praying, and I saw the Lord raising this man up, and then I saw that he was going to live. And so I told that woman the next day, I said, I prayed last night, and I said, I believe God told me that this man's going to live. He's not going to die. And so that day, they went to unplug him, and when they started to unplug him, he woke up, and he snapped out of it, and he lived. He didn't die. And it was, but see, the thing of it was, I felt like if I hadn't have took that responsibility, see, I couldn't have had the authority to change that man's life. And I think sometimes we may miss opportunities when we could have changed the circumstance in life. There's no telling how much things in my own life I've missed because I wasn't, I maybe been lazy or didn't want to do it or whatever. But whenever you obey God and do what he tells you to do, you can see great things happen. And you know, one of the greatest things that we're responsible for that most people don't realize? Did you know you're responsible for showing the love of God? But the reason is because Jesus himself commanded us. He said, I command you. He said, this is the greatest commandment of all, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And so if that's his commandment, and it is, that means that if I don't want to do that, then I'm rebelling against authority. See, if I say, he told me to love everybody, but I'm going to love everybody but this person over here or that person over there. I just can't love them. I just can't do it. I ain't going to. That's rebellion. You say, but I got a right to not like that person and not love that person. No, you don't. He commanded us to love everybody, no matter who it is. And so, but the thing of it is, how many know that when you keep that the responsibility that He tells us to, that's when heaven comes into your life. The more that, see, God knows what it takes to bring heaven to us. He knows what it takes for us to have more of heaven in our life. And we don't realize what brings hell into our life. Most of the time, what brings hell into our life is our own ways. The way we deal with things, how we think about things. Because we don't realize that our thoughts are not His thoughts and our ways are not His ways, and they have to change. And pride tells us that the way we think and the way we handle things is the way it really should be done. But see, it's not. See, when we have to be willing to say, God, what if you tell me to love everybody, then I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to forgive whoever's done me wrong. I'm going to do that. Because if I don't, that's where hell's going to come into your life at. I've seen people in mental institutions. I've seen people that was going through all kind of torment. And when it all came down to, it came down to they had refused to forgive somebody. There was some area of their life where they had bitterness and hatred for somebody that maybe really done them wrong, but they had held that in their life, and they refused to forgive, and they refused to show love, and as a result of it, it brought hell into their lives. And so heaven wants to come into our life, and if the more that we let love rule through us, the more that it's going to bring heaven into our life. The Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. In the book of Jude, it says that. It says, keep yourself in the love of God. And that means I'm responsible for keeping myself. It's because He said, keep yourself. A lot of times I say, well, God's got to do it. I ain't going to do it. No, He said, you keep yourself. Keep yourself in the love of God. Did you know something else it says? It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that God may exalt you in due time. It didn't say God will humble you. It said humble yourself. Because God can humble you, but you don't want God to humble you. It's a whole lot better if you humble yourself. It's a whole lot better if you humble yourself before God and submit to Him than it is for you to be broken because of rebellion. Glory to God. We're responsible to be. He said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. We're responsible to be in His name. And I want you to think about something just for a second, about what it really means to be in the name. To be in His name means to have His nature, His character, His will, His spirit. And so He said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. It don't mean that you're supposed to walk around saying, I'm in the name of Jesus, I'm in the name of Jesus, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. No, it means for you to be in His character, His nature, the way He would do it if He was here. You know, it's just like if I sent somebody to town to pay a bill for me, and I said, I want you to go in my name and go pay this bill for me up here. And they took my name and they went to pay that bill. And they said, well, you know what? I think I'll buy him a refrigerator. He might need a refrigerator too. And I didn't tell him to buy a refrigerator. See, he's not in my name doing that. He's representing me in His name. And so when we're in the name of Jesus, that means that we have to do things the way He would do it if He was here. Glory to God. So that means that how would Jesus deal with something? When you're going through something in your life, you ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do if He was here? How would He handle this situation right here? Would He be mad and screaming and hollering, or would He be showing the love of God? You know, it's amazing how things are different when you're looking through the eyes of the Spirit and you say, because we get caught off guard because we don't know we're going through a trial until it's too late. You know, we get caught off guard and we fly mad and we don't realize pest. You know, and the Lord showed me a long time ago that when you're going through a trial or a test, if you catch it in time, if you realize it's a test, most of the time you can pass it. But if you don't realize it's a test, most of the time you'll fail it. And so whenever I'd be going through something or somebody would make me mad, and I'd just be standing there and I'd say, this is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this is a test. And so, I mean, I would literally do that. And when I did, it was like, hey, I'm going past this test. I'm supposed to be good here. I'm not going to be mean. And so I would just do like I was supposed to do. And it was like I just breezed right through it. But they have been times that I would get caught off guard and I'd be right in the middle of the test, failing the test, and then the Lord would say, this was a test, but you failed it. And so, but the thing of it is, I'm wanting us to realize that we have authority and we have responsibilities. And if we will fulfill our responsibilities and our authority that God's given us, your life will be greatly blessed. And not only your life, but other people around you will. And you can change the future for many people if you obey God and do what He tells you to do. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads this morning.